Oh my, my little son decided to turn the light. A little fast on the trigger sometimes, you gotta watch them kids. Let's open our Bibles together, Hebrews chapter 2. Hallelujah. So grateful for the Lord Jesus. I'm so happy to feel Him here already, aren't you?
Yes, amen.
Something just burns up inside me. I just don't praise Him like I want to. You know, there's just so much more bubbling within than what comes out sometimes.
Amen.
I just want to let loose one of these services and really just give God the praise. Amen.
Yes, amen.
He is worthy, church. Amen. He is worthy.
Yes,
if this don't get you stirred up tonight, there's something wrong somewhere. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 5. We're going to read the rest of the chapter here, so be patient, please. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come wherever we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all things all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus. Do you see Jesus tonight?
Amen.
Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Aren't you glad you got a captain that already went the way for you?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Glory.
Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Sounds like Paul's kind of trying to make a point, quoting all the scriptures. Look, God is trying to get something across.
Amen.
And again,
amen.
Let me say this. And again, there's another scripture. I got another one too. And again, says Paul. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham.
Glory.
Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted.
Hallelujah.
By the help of the Lord, I want to preach divine sonship authority tonight.
Yeah.
Divine subject authority. Sonship authority. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to be in your house, Lord. And I pray that every thought contrary to your word, every little feeling, Lord, that would make us just cold and starchy and not to think how much we really love you, Lord, and show it on in our hearts and in our lips, Lord, giving praise unto your name. I pray that all that would be dismissed out of this place tonight, Lord, that you just give us free reign in the Spirit, Lord, that you might come and do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think.
Yes, Lord.
We come expecting great things, Father, not out of man, but we're trusting in the living God. We're trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ is still here and alive, and he's with us and he's in us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being here, Father. Heal every sick, save every lost, change every life that needs you, Father. May it be done this night, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name I ask you. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Divine sonship authority. I want to put all that together real quick here, because if you just take one of those, you're missing the picture here. Divine. Divine is speaking of God himself. So I'm talking about a group of people that have had an inheritance in the divine. They have a part of them that is not subject to this world down here, but has a higher power. That of the divine. That of above all things. The one that was everything was set underneath. Divine. Sonship. I want sons of God tonight. If you're not a son of God, we'll get to that in a minute. This doesn't apply to you. I'm talking to those that have been changed from death unto life. I'm talking about those that are not walking in the world. Those that have been changed. Those that are not what they were when they were born, but they've been changed supernaturally.
Hallelujah.
The things that they once desired, they aren't going this way no more. They've had an about face.
Amen.
And they ain't pointed just anyway. They're pointed right to Calvary every day of their life.
Yes.
Sons of God, daughters of God, and the authority that goes with that position. As we read here, let's go back to that scripture in Hebrews 2. Keep your place there. I'm going to come back to this all, probably all night, Lord willing.
Verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But at one certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? So what is the scripture saying? As we read in the first chapter, Paul took Jesus and he exalted him above every prophet, above every angel, above every man that ever lived on the face of the earth. And he said, he is the Almighty God. He is sitting in the throne of God on heaven on high, and everything is subject to him.
Amen.
No angel could glory even in his presence. Remember the angels in Isaiah? They couldn't even look at the glory of God. They had to hide their faces. And Calvary made a way that you can go right to the throne.
Amen.
Oh my. Brother Brandon was asked the question. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but we'll come back here. Coming out of the Kinsman Redeemer 1960, says, who has more power before God? What is an angel? An angel's a servant, is that right? They're his servants. What are you, his sons and daughters? Who has more power in heaven then? A sinner that's been saved by grace, or an archangel that's standing by his right side? Which one do you think it is? A sinner saved by grace, or the archangel that's standing by his side? You take a casual look, you think, well, of course the archangel, right? He's never sinned, never had to go through temptation, but that's not the truth. Brother Branham says, the sinner that's been saved by grace has more authority in heaven than the archangel that stood by his side without sin, because he's a son.
Amen.
A son has more authority than a servant, of course. Put that in your head right now. We get later in the book of Hebrews, it says that the angels are ministering spirits sent unto us.
Amen.
To minister to us, to help us. They are our servants.
Amen.
The angel's purpose is, ever since you were born, if you're elect seed of God, they were standing guard when that car tried to about hit you and almost took your life. They said, no, sir, you stop right here.
Amen.
We are set to protect this seed that's in this man, in this woman. They are the servants of the sons of God. That should show you the authority of a son of God. It's time to stop letting the devil push us around.
Amen.
My, how many of you think a devil could push an angel around?
Yeah.
But look, the devil made Michael. It took him 3 weeks, or however long it was, 2 weeks to get there. He resisted, but a son of God now. Look at Jesus stand. The devil tried to show up and fight him. He caught him out right now and sent him on his way. The son of God has authority. And the sons of God have the same authority by inheritance.
Yes.
Amen. Not by works, not by anything we've ever done, but because of who we are.
Yes.
We are sons.
Amen.
And daughters of God. And I love this, how Brother Brand finishes. He says, oh, we forget what we are. We forget many times what made us what we are. After we become what we are, then we forget how we got here. Because we think that we have to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get saved anyhow? Tell me how you changed yourself. Anybody try to turn new leaves? You ran out of leaves, didn't you? Because you just kept turning. You ran out of pages in your book because you kept turning new pages. Never worked. But it took somebody to take that old book of yours and throw it down over there.
Amen.
And said, I got a new book. The Amen. Book of life. And your name is in it.
Praise God.
And to think that name was always there.
Yeah.
Oh, if you knew how secure you were, if you've been born again.
Amen.
Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Come hell, high water, the devil, even angels, Paul said, if anything speaks contrary to this, it's a curse. You're a son.
Amen.
All right. Hope you know where we're going tonight. The sons of God have authority, and it's time to take that authority by faith and apply it to our lives.
Amen.
Now let it go in one ear and out the other, and today you walk around all defeated because you forgot already. That ain't what we want. We want consistent, day in, day out, sonship authority in action.
Amen.
Tired of people coming in and telling me, oh man, the devil really been fighting me this week. I can't stand that. Why didn't you beat him up? Yeah, he's going to fight you, but he's only got shadow punches. He don't even really punch. He's just bluffing you anyhow. Knock him one. In the name of Jesus, devil, get out.
Amen.
You watch him cower like a cow. Like a little dog with his tail between his legs and run right on out of here. He'll do it every time, church. But look, he knows if you're bluffing now. He knows whether you're telling the truth. He knows whether you believe, because he'll call it. He ain't afraid. He's lying all the time anyhow. He's so used to lying, he don't even remember that he's lying no more. He thinks that's just the way it is. He'll come out through this poker face saying, you gotta be sick, you know.
Uh-huh.
This is your thorn in the flesh. You gotta bear this the rest of your days.
Mm-hmm.
You need to turn around and get the word and say, by his stripes, I am healed.
Yes, sir.
And as Brother Branham said, when Jesus used the word against the devil, it was like the devil grabbed 10,000 volt wire.
Amen.
You got to apply that now. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I wish the sons of God knew how many times you take down Satan's strongholds. You don't even know it.
Amen.
Oh my, you walk through the mall and there's naked women here, naked women here, naked women here, and you're just going like this. You're a soldier. You ain't looking left or right. You're going about face right toward Calvary the whole time. The Satan says, go look at that woman. You say, no, sir. No, sir. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. You are whipping Satan's kingdoms.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's right.
You don't even know it lots of times.
Amen.
Why? Because we want to be like David and Goliath. You know, I want to see him stand there. I want to see that devil right there and then take my sling and watch him fall down, get my sword out that I can see and cut his head off. That ain't the warfare we're fighting. We're fighting a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
One that don't deal with flesh and blood.
Right.
One that you can't sit there and just grab and do that. You got to use the word.
Right.
You got to fight him on the level that he's fighting on. And that's in your mind.
Amen.
Don't bring him down to this carnality. Well, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. It's what did you think that made you do that?
Amen.
What was the seed that Satan got in on you that produced that?
Right.
That's the warfare now. As we talked about before, Son of God that's got the Holy Ghost knows that every time you fall, you shouldn't have. You had power to defeat the devil,
sure,
and you let him do it.
That's right.
You need to recognize that you are letting him win when you slip up, when you fall and stumble. It was not because he's a worthy adversary. It's because he's already defeated. He's a toothless lion. His teeth are all knocked out. He got nothing.
Amen.
And you just gave him some authority. Use your own creative power and gave it to the devil's lie and made that live.
That's true. Yeah.
That's what happened.
Amen.
If you could realize that your enemy needs you to even fight you, he would be whipped. He would be whipped all the time. Oh my. I hope this feeding you tonight. I hope I ain't boring you because it excites me to know that every time Satan comes against me, he is lying.
Yes, amen.
He says, buddy, you're lost. I go back. No, I'm saved.
Amen.
He said, you're serpent seed. And like I said before, I'm going to be the worst serpent seed you ever seen, man.
Amen. It's a lot.
My. But what's the problem? Most times people think they're converted and they ain't yet. Look, you can have a confession of Christ. That don't mean you're converted yet. You know, one scripture that came to me as I was sitting out there, it's Hosea 2:16, if you want to find it. It says, in that day they shall call me Ishi and call me no more Bali. And to us, that don't mean a whole lot until you go back and look at what those words mean. Ishi means husband. Bali means Lord. Said in that day, and I'm going to go ahead and bring it down in this day, when the word's been restored, Jesus Christ is looking for a relationship higher than just being somebody's Lord. He wants to be your husband.
Yeah.
Why do you think in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 25, when they came up and said, Lord, Lord, have not we done many mighty works? It wasn't husband, husband. It was Lord, Lord. They had come short of the grace of God.
Amen.
And so many times people do that. They treat God like an idol or like a dictator. That every time you mess up, man, he's just got the hammer right there and he's ready to bash your head in. Every time. That is not our God. Our God is long-suffering.
Amen.
Oh my, could you imagine knowing that Cain would reject you anyways, but you still told him how to get saved anyway.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow. Said, I'll even make you a ruler if you just obey me. In the days of Noah, they gave him 120 years.
Amen.
Saying, just repent. Just come back. Just get in the ark.
Amen.
For 120 years. No converts.
Right. Zero.
The long-suffering of God. If God was as brute as most people make him out to be, there wouldn't even been no warning. It would have said, Noah, throw the boat down, jump in there quick, buddy, because here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Savior himself, 4,000 years, he dealt with man. And finally, he sent down his son to take care of it himself. Because he pretty much showed every man, look, you can't do this. You can't redeem yourself. You can't make your way back. And he let him prove it.
Amen.
Moses, we thought, oh, that was a mighty man. He's the meekest man on earth. Took that rod and smote the rock twice. Disobeyed the will of the Lord. David, a man after God's own heart, took another man, got him killed, and took his wife and had a child by her.
Yep.
Every time a man, they loved God, there was something on the inside that knew they wanted to serve him, but they didn't have the ability to because they could not be subject. They could not manifest because they told him it wasn't made.
Amen.
Amen.
How do you know you're part of this now? We're going to get into this in a minute. You got to have a scriptural conversion. Look, and there ain't no exceptions, nowhere.
Nope.
Paul himself, when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, knocked him down. He went blind for days, and I believe it was Ananias that came and baptized him. And after that, he went into Arabia for 3 years. And Brother Ram explains why. He went out there to prove by the scripture that his experience was scriptural. Oh my, I wish people would give 3 minutes to prove their experience was even scriptural. Oh, but I shouted, I felt good. Where's that in the Bible? That's evidence. I spoke in tongues. I prophesied. I did this and that. Where's that evidence in the Bible that you are a believer?
Amen.
It's not. Coming out of Hebrews chapter 2. It says, now when Paul found this out, he had this experience. And my, look at this experience he had. He saw the pillar of fire. He said, Jesus. Or he said, who are you? He said, Jesus. Why did he persecute me? He had this mighty experience. And still, he wasn't convinced until the scripture proved it.
Amen.
Peter, on Mount Transfiguration, watched Jesus be transformed and glorified. And he said that the scriptures were a more sure word of prophecy than even that experience.
Amen.
Your experience must match the word, because the word is not just this book, it is Christ. And if it doesn't match Christ, you don't have him.
Amen.
You have an imposter.
Amen.
Remember that white horse right in Revelation 6? So close. It deceived the elect. But it, praise God, it can't.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Impossible.
How are you going to make an apple tree not make apples?
Right.
He can't do it. That life must express itself, and thank God that he predestinated that way.
Amen.
Now we find out he had this experience, and then before he would accept this experience, he must be back to the Bible. And we find out that he left and went to another nation, and there he stayed for 3 years searching the scripture to see if his experience was right. Now we realize that he had a great thing to face. Look, if this was right, he had a lot to change in his life. He wanted to make sure. He didn't want to come over some little overnight thing that he couldn't be proved. He wanted to make sure this is exactly what the prophets foretold. Now we realize that he had a great thing to face. He had to come back and tell his church, all the people, the very things that he had persecuted was right.
Amen.
Oh my, we think that mighty warrior Paul. Why do you think he had to make sure that he made sure that he made sure? Could you imagine going back, even to the Sanhedrin, and going, look, buddies, I'm sorry, but you're a bunch of snakes in the grass. Jesus was right.
Sure.
Them people were you're persecuting, those are the sons and daughters of God that the world ain't worthy of.
Right.
You're calling them scum.
Right.
You're heading for the pits of hell. That's what he had to go back and do.
Right.
And then he had to go back and look at his brothers and say, I know I got Stephen killed. I know I got those others put in prison. Your mother and your grandmother, I'm sorry I put them in prison.
Uh-huh.
Can you forgive me? I've had an experience with the Lord. I believe him now. I know he's the same. Forgive me for what I did.
Right.
Could you imagine how hard this would have been on this man? And we go, oh, Paul, you know, he was just on the mountaintop all the time, just having a great time. No, but in his soul he was, because he knew who he was.
Yes.
Once he got out of Arabia, you couldn't shake him.
Yes.
Oh my, he could even look at Peter to his face, the one that Jesus gave the keys. He said, you're wrong, because what you're doing is not scriptural.
Amen.
It makes a man bold. I tell you what, a sister that's got the Holy Ghost, you can tell just by looking at her. 99.9% of the time. But a man now, he can look the part, act the part. But I tell you what, if you find somebody that don't move on that word, that stays just rock hard, they hear something contrary, they just dismiss it, that's when I know a man's got the Holy Ghost. You don't play around with that. That's hellfire, church. You start taking something, mixing it with this word, you tank the whole thing, and you might as well get out.
Amen.
That's how every single denomination got started. One little idea, one little thing that somebody interjected without God's authority.
Amen.
And tried to make it work out, it never will. You can't figure it out. You have to believe it.
Amen.
Only God can give revelation.
Yes.
Let's skim down here a little bit. Now we find out when Paul got converted and had this real experience, he was absolutely turned around. Not 90%, not 99%. It was an absolute change that took in place. And if you haven't met Calvary in that way, you know, the things that you used to do, you kind of, you know, you try, you know, you kind of feel bad, but you know, no, sir. It needs to be an about face. I used to love the things of the world, and now my only desire is Christ.
Amen.
That's when you can rest assured
that Lord.
Something's happened, that you've really got down there and met Calvary.
Amen.
And no man is an exception. I don't care who he is. I don't care how wonderful he is, how long he's been in the message, how long he's preached the word. If he has not met Calvary, he's not been changed from the things of the world, the love of the world. The Bible said if even the love of the world's in your heart, the love of the Father's not in you.
Amen.
And even to have that love is automatically enmity against God.
Right.
It's not something to play around with. And look, Paul took 3 years to make sure this was right. And it's not wrong for us to go back and double check. Make sure, Lord, keep knocking. If you got any little doubt, just go back to Calvary and say, Lord, show it to me.
Amen.
Show me that I'm in this word. Show me that I'm a son.
Yes. Amen.
Because if you're a double-minded man, if you're a son one day and a sinner the next, you won't do anything for God.
Right. Amen.
You might as well just go click your computer all night, because that's all you're going to be good for. You need to be rock solid and know that you're saved. There's got to come a day when you say, yes, I have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have been changed from death unto life. I am a son of God. You have to have that. Mine. Some people act like if I ask who's got the Holy Ghost, then nobody allowed to raise their hand, because you know you might be proud or something. I can't stand these religious spirits. I'll tell you what, that just irks me more than anything else. The son of God better know he's the son of God. Nobody's got to convince me I'm a son of James Kressel. That's how crazy it is to go, well, I might be, you know, I'm hoping maybe, you know, there's no eternal hope, it's eternal security.
Yes. Woo!
So you see, after all, actually, Brother Branham, let me read this. It says, but, let me go back up here a little bit. You liking the word tonight, amen? It feeds my soul every time I get into this stuff, man. I go, why do I ever do anything else? Because it's just so satisfying. You'll never find it. And I warn you, Christian friend, there's nothing else in the world that satisfies. Don't let the devil ever pull something on you and say, well, you ain't never had a joint. There ain't no satisfaction in that. You ain't never had a drink. There ain't no satisfaction in that. We could go right on down the list of things that you know are wrong. Don't let the devil trick you. There ain't nothing good about it. And there's somebody in this room that'll be able to tell you if you'd ask.
Right.
Because God has saved all kinds.
Yeah.
He's defeated every devil that there ever was.
Yeah.
Now I believe when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, it's an experience. I believe the joy of knowing your sins are forgiven just thrills your heart through and through. But then when the blessed Holy Spirit comes down, oh, I just love that. When you know that you've been just purged out,
yes.
And then all of a sudden you feel that presence come on.
Yes.
You go, this is different.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes.
My. You feel that burning in your soul. You don't even know what's going on at the time. At least I did. Maybe you did, right? I tell you what, the most of the time when people that really are born again don't know they are, it's because they weren't taught right. They just weren't taught right because, look, they received the Holy Ghost. It was right now.
That's right.
The one time they waited was 10 days, and that was because they had to fulfill the prophecy. It had to be 50 days since then.
Right.
The Jubilee.
Amen.
But after that, when a man really has it, that experience takes place. It's just like a birth. It's coming right now.
Right.
Because it is. It's the same thing. The natural birth is just the type of the spiritual birth.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. But then when the blessed Holy Spirit comes down, that's an experience. That new birth that you'll never forget.
Amen.
You become a child of God, and here is what it does. How do you know it, Brother Branham? Isn't that a good question? How do you know that it really happened? We'll skip down here. So you see, after all, it's the experience of passing from death to life.
Yeah.
When
all,
double L,
that word, amen.
All the old things die,
yes.
And all things become new. Christ becomes real. The old things drop away, the old roots of carnality. You know how to dig a root out. We used to take a grubbing hoe and just get down at it and dig it until there wasn't one speck left in it. And they said, if there be any root of bitterness spring up into you, grub her out.
Amen.
That's right, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. Root out all the roots. Dig them out, pile them up, and burn them.
Amen.
Get rid of them. You got a good crop then if we do that.
Amen.
And look, he didn't say you dig them out. He said you get the Holy Spirit by faith now. Say, Lord, dig this thing out of me.
Amen.
And oh my, man, that really gets down, like we said, it meets Calvary. And those things wash out of his heart because the Holy Spirit did it. You didn't do it. He did it.
Amen.
But you have to ask now.
Yes.
He said, ask and you shall receive it. He didn't say, I'll just give it. Mm-hmm. Why? Now he knows whether you want it or not, so that's why he wants to hear it.
Amen.
Oh my, I might be able to walk in and know what my wife wants. But if she just says it once, oh, it just means that much more to me. Especially when I can do it, you know. Us men, you know, we most time can't do it. But not our Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm so grateful to know we got a Savior that would bankrupt heaven before he let one of his promises fail.
Amen.
So how do you know you've been born again, you've been passed from death unto life. You are a new creation in Christ. All things are old. All the old things, they're gone. You don't even care about them no more. I'm not talking about your failures. I'm not talking about being tempted or something like that. I'm talking about down on the inside of the man of who you really are.
Amen.
There's no desire for the things of the world. Well, as we said earlier, people act like you're proud if you go around saying, I know I got the Holy Ghost. Look what Brother Branham says here. And that same message now, what I just got done reading there. It says, so aren't we a happy group tonight to know that God has vindicated this experience, this great experience that we have, to be compared with His Bible and with His promises?
Amen. Amen.
So there's a place to know that you're a son of God, that you've met Calvary, that you've been born again, and that you've been changed, and that you are sealed until the day of your redemption.
Amen. Amen.
And if that has not happened to you, then it's time to go ahead and turn off this service. Get down and find Calvary.
Amen.
Because until then, you're just wasting your time. You say, what's real repentance then, brother? What's really turning around? I'll tell you what, if you can't shed a tear and you're repenting of your sins, there's something wrong somewhere. I know emotion ain't the evidence of it, but if there's emotion accompanies every birth. Anybody had a woman that didn't have emotion when she was giving birth? What do you think is going to happen with any person that's been born again, that's birthing out a new creature, a new creation in Christ? There's going to be emotion go with that because you recognize what you are.
Amen.
And that's a rank sinner. And you recognize what that sin did. It put every stripe on him. It put every nail through his body. It bruised him every time it was.
Amen.
It happened to him. That was because of you. He said, if you were the only sinner in the world, all those same things still would have happened to him. So we're all just as guilty for it. Don't point your finger at Adam. Don't point it at Eve. Don't point it at your grandparents or your parents and say, oh, it's this reason, that reason. It's your fault.
Amen.
The reason I say that is because, you know, Brother Branham said one time, he said the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. And I've seen that quote used to pretty much destroy the new birth.
Amen.
To where people will never get to it because they start getting a little emotional and they go, oh, no, you don't need all that. And they never get to where they're actually born again. Let me read what the prophet actually said. I don't have that quote, but I know after that he says that the signs that were in Jesus are now in you. Tell me, yeah. No, I can't. He didn't say without experience. He said without sensation. Which means, I felt a chill bump. That's not what we're talking about. Oh, I had lightning go through my eyes. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about experience where I am changed.
Yeah.
I am not what I used to be.
Hallelujah.
That must happen. And don't tell me it happened to you. You never got emotional about it. There's something wrong somewhere. Anything without emotion is dead.
That's right.
If your religion ain't got no emotion, go ahead and bury it right now and get the real thing. Because the sons of God have been shouting for joy since the foundation of the world. This shout religion ain't new now, church. This ain't Pentecostalism. It's the original.
Amen.
You go watch some of that sometime. Those of you that want evidences, go watch some Pentecostals get all crazy and run around, and you can pick it out. It's fake.
Uh-huh.
It'll take like 2 seconds because they don't mean it. But oh, you get around a couple believers that really love Christ, and they really get in the spirit of joy, and God comes down and sets them free from diseases, sets them free from complexes, sets them free from sin, and you see them running the aisles, you'll know the difference.
Amen.
You can't make up the joy of the Lord. You can fake it all you want to. The Spirit knows the truth. He knows what real worship is, and that's all He desires. And it must start from the heart and work its way out.
Amen.
Don't just put on worship. That's manufacturing.
Yes.
Be worship.
Yes.
Wow.
Sons of God were made to worship God. That's what they were doing way back there. And even Jesus himself, when God became a man, he even showed us how to worship.
Amen.
He did the same thing. He said, I thank thee, O Father.
Amen.
He wasn't afraid to give God praise. He wasn't afraid to show some emotion in his worship. Oh my. Let me read this now. Why? If you get emotional from... Oh, I just love this. I hope this rebukes somebody that has this. If you have it now. Not, I'm not trying to give it to you, but this is one of my biggest pet peeves. I'm glad the prophet said the same thing. Why? If you can get emotionally from batting a ball or for throwing one in a basket... How much more will it make you emotionally to know that you've passed from death to life, that you're a new creation in Christ?
Hallelujah.
You know it by the way your spirit leads you away from malice and guile and enmity and all these things of the world, and your heart sets centered on Christ. That's your motives. That's all that you think in your mind, on your heart all day and night. When you go to bed at night and you put your hands behind you like this and just lay there and praise until you go to sleep. Wake up and morning still praising Him.
Amen.
That's right.
Anybody else do that? I do as much as I can. I ain't trying to brag. I just love Him, church.
Yes. Amen.
And look, when I saw that ball get thrown, I did get excited in the world. I did. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. Then you meet Christ and you go, that was so stupid. And is it, we go, you all be legalists and go and say, oh, we can't throw a ball around. No, I'm not saying that. Is it wrong to see a game or something? I'm not going to go that far. But I'll tell you what, if you get more excited, come on now, you get more excited with touchdown than you do with, I'm healed.
Woo!
There's something wrong.
Amen.
If anything excites you more than Christ, you're either lost or backslid.
Uh-huh.
I pray you're backslid if you're like that. So at least you got salvation somewhere. My. All right. Homie's glad to be converted this morning.
Yeah,
not to see that. I'm sorry. Homie's glad that you met Calvary.
Yeah,
that you know Christ. Yeah. Not because of brother so-and-so, not because of this, that, or whatever you did, but because you met Him and you said, Lord, forgive me. Yeah. And not only did you just have some emotional and mental experience, you felt the Spirit of God come down. Amen. And it changed all things.
Yes.
The things I used to do, the things I used to think, the things I used to say, it's all
gone.
All right. Now let's start talking about that authority then, trusting that all are there. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. As we talked earlier, we're not to the authority of angels now. We're to the authority of sons. Let me explain how this works. Galatians 4. Pray for my voice, man. Y'all making me evangelist tonight. It's hard not to get excited about son's authority, is it?
Yes.
Sure. When I watch the devil squirm and run out the back door, it makes me happy. Galatians 4. Now I say, excuse me, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So what is he saying right there? An heir of God. As Dad sang the song, I got the scripture right down here. We even studied it. It was back there in Romans 8:17. It said, the heirs of God, which is what we are by predestination brought into this world. You're either a son of God or you're a son of the serpent. You're one of the two. But by grace, since we've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that proves that we're sons of God.
Amen.
And since we are sons of God, we are heirs.
Amen.
Heirs of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything that he was, I am.
Yes.
Amen.
Everything he is, I am. Direct quote if you want to question that. And that he didn't say it one time. Tons of them. Verse 1 again there. That the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, put your name in there now. Even so Andrew Kressel. Hallelujah, Jesus. Even so Ken Roush. I just go through all your names, but we're just going to put it in there now by faith. Even so we, when we were children. Hallelujah. You are still a son of God. You just were a child. You hadn't grown up yet. You were still in a bond of cage of sin. But you were children nonetheless. When we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But, I just love that word in the scriptures. But when the fullness of time was come,
yes,
God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Amen.
As we read Sunday, what was the only reason Christ came down was for redemption.
Yes. Amen.
Salvation is just a part of redemption. That was his plan because that life was always there. And when he watched it fall, he knew he had to bring it back.
Amen.
That was his whole plan. So why did he send his son? Why did God become flesh and send his son to die on the cross to redeem us that we might receive the adoption?
Yeah.
And what is adoption? That you can put your name on the check the same as Christ would, and it's the same authority.
Amen.
The exact same. Would you recognize that when you say in Jesus' name, it's the same as Jesus speaking himself?
Amen.
If you take the word of God and put it on your lips, it's the same as deity speaking.
Yes.
Everything has to move. All hell has to get out of the way.
Amen.
That's the authority we've been called to, church. And as long as we live below that, we are wasting time.
Amen.
Wow, we could be so much further down the road, couldn't we? If we just walked in this and didn't let the devil talk you out of it, didn't let the devil take one of your mistakes and turn it around on you, call you surfacing, and you believe it. Anybody tired of that old battle? Well, just stop listening to him. He's a liar. Kick him out.
Amen.
Verse 6. I can't stop there. And because you are good enough. Is that what that says? And because you fasted long enough. And because you're a good enough Christian and you're such a role model. No. And because ye are sons.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
And just for you women, if you didn't know this, if there's any man included, the Bible will use the masculine term because that's how they use their words then. So when it says sons, it includes all daughters as well.
Amen.
And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son. Oh, I just love that. The spirit of his son. Oh, wait a minute. I thought there was a Trinity. So if the spirit of the son's over here, when do I receive the actual Holy Spirit? The spirit of the spirit. And where does the spirit of the father come into this? See how that's a bunch of baloney? The spirit of the son, the spirit of the father, the Holy Spirit. They're all the same spirit.
Amen.
And if you receive it, you receive the same thing that was in Christ. It's the same life, the same power, the same potential.
Amen.
And because you are sons. We don't need to flip-flop that. It's not because we've got the Holy Ghost that we became sons. It's because we were sons that God had to send us the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
So we said he couldn't let that life sit there dormant.
Amen.
He only could take it as long as he could in your life. The only reason it took that long is because he was being gracious toward us, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was long-suffering
yes.
toward me. When I tried to pretend like I was going to be a Christian for years, and finally I hit the bottom of the road and said, God, I can't do it. That's when he sent his son.
Amen.
That's when he sent the Holy Ghost. And if you ain't received it yet, you just ain't got desperate enough yet, because God is more willing to give you the Holy Ghost
yes.
if you want to get it.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. Quit putting yourself under the servant category under God. He don't just bark orders at us. There's a relationship.
Amen.
We are sons. There's a fellowship. There's a trust.
Yeah.
Joint heirs, if you want to call it.
Yes, sir.
Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Amen.
As we read in in Romans 8:17, it says, and if children, then heirs of God and joiners with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then we may be glorified together. I do appreciate my dad being led of the Spirit, because as I try to tell over and over again, we don't ever compare notes. I don't ever tell him what to sing, and he's saying, heirs of the Father, heirs of the Son. And what do you think I was trying not to do back there just yet? You know, us preachers don't want to give away the secret just yet. We are heirs, church.
Yes.
We are heirs of the Father. We are heirs, joint heirs with the Son.
Amen.
We are people of His kingdom.
Amen.
Look, if you go to that song, read one of those. And if you can say yes to that, say yes to all the rest of them.
Amen.
It's the only way. If any of those, go all the way down the list. Find one that you know you've experienced, and then go ahead and go back and apply the rest of them, because they all count.
Amen.
Amen.
If you've received the Holy Ghost, you are an heir of God.
Amen. Amen.
If you receive the Holy Ghost, you are a son of God.
Amen.
And now it is manifested.
Amen.
Walk in it. Be it. Don't let the devil do anything to you.
Amen. That's right.
Be like Paul, saying, man, I got this infirmity. And we could go and argue about what that was and everything else. But he had some sort of infirmity hitting him. He said, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said, I sought the Lord thrice to take it away. He wasn't saying, I just put up with it. He's saying, this ain't right. The devil is supposed to be whooped all the time.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And that's when God came around, and we know what he said. He said, my grace is sufficient. So he didn't say, oh, boo-hoo, I got to bear this. Oh, it's so tough. He said, I will glorify God
Amen.
In my infirmities.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Galatians 3, let's go back there a little bit. And we're going to get back to our scripture here in Hebrews 2 here in a second. So we are sons of God. God has sent His Spirit into us, which is a true conversion from death unto life. Not because we were good enough, not because we were special or something or other, but because we were His sons, He sent us the Spirit to quicken that life. So that we could produce the same thing that He has. The authority we have been given is not the authority of a servant, it's the authority of a Son of God, which is higher than anything on the earth. Anything above the earth, anything under the earth. The highest authority in this world is the Son of God. Look, even this gift here of a pastor is sent as a ministering spirit to the sons of God. Your authority as a son of God is greater than the authority as a pastor. Do you understand that? If you can recognize your position as a son of God, everything is subject to that.
Amen.
We are all put in the same position. Look, the body is one.
Amen.
It's one body.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory.
What did the Bible say? Can my you know, pinky boast against my eye? I need both of them.
Amen.
We need it all. It needs all function together. And I quit. If the churches quit fighting and bickering and saying, oh, we got to do this, we got to be this, we got and work together and realize we're all one.
That's right.
Amen.
My, if I only can agree with the brother this far, that's okay. Let's fight for the cause.
Right.
My, sometimes I believe that sons of God fight each other more than the devil even has to get in there.
Amen.
He just sits back and takes a day off because they're sitting there bickering, competing, trying to be whatever, trying to be the best finger, trying to be the best hand. Oh my, when I was in sports, you know, I was defensive lineman. You know, I was never jealous of the quarterback. I didn't care that he played. I cared about the other guy that was playing in my spot. See what happens when you come out of the spirit of the world? You get jealous. So you watch what Satan does. He won't pin you. He's not going to pin a song leader against a pastor somewhere else. And he'll set people that are right there, joined, just like David and Saul. Right there, working hand in hand. And if Satan can get in there, he'll destroy things. And then, isn't that what happened to Israel for the longest time? He totally destroyed Israel. It was broke up and everything else. People dying. People, you know, they're out there and Saul's armies were getting wiped out. David had to leave the promised land for a while. Look what happens when Satan's allowed to come in. But the sons of God have an authority. That should not happen.
Amen.
Mine, even if you've got to be the son of God and they aren't going to be, lay down your life.
Amen.
For them. That's how you know you're Christ. Now, that's all free. I don't know what that's for, but praise God, I believe the word.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I told you to go to Galatians 3. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down to 16. I want to emphasize another point here. Well, Paul gets that in Hebrews 2. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many. So there goes your little, you know, separate doctrine right now. He didn't say seeds as in like a whole bunch.
That's right.
But as of one, as you keep reading there, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's the seed of Abraham. There's nothing else. The seed of Abraham is Christ.
Yes. Amen.
The promise was only made to Abraham and his seed. And anybody hear Abraham? Well, the only way you're going to be part of this is a part of Christ then.
Amen.
There's only one seed of God. It's the same life that's within you. It's within me. It's within every son of God that ever got on the world. It's Christ.
Amen.
And what was this promise given? We can sit there and read it. I'm going to paraphrase here for time's sake. He said that the promise was, or said the covenant was given by a promise, not by the law. So when the law came, it couldn't disannul the promise of God. So that's why Christ had to come and redeem the seed back. Because it couldn't be that way. The law would fail. We knew that. Actually, the law didn't fail. Man failed the law. And we knew that was going to happen. But God gave the promise to Abraham by a promise. He gave the covenant by a promise saying, I will do this. It has nothing to do with you.
Amen.
Put yourself as Abraham's seed.
Amen.
Why am I blessed? He said so.
Amen.
How come that the gates of the enemies, they don't prevail against me? He said so.
Amen.
I use his name. I use the authority he gave me. And I just walk right through the gates and they just open up and everybody runs out of the way.
Amen.
Or you could be like Samson. They got him barred up pretty good. So you just go ahead and take him, pack him on your back, carry him up.
Amen.
Just rubbing in his face a little while. I like doing that too. You know, once in a while when you get healed, you go back to the doctor just so they can tell you, look, yeah, it really did happen, buddy.
Uh-huh.
Spiritually, you just took the gates of Satan that he said you were going to have to bear this sickness and you put it on your back and said, here you go, devil, have it back.
Amen.
Amen. Whew. My. Skip down to verse 27. Actually, Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There you go. Just believe. Believe, receive, and enact.
Amen.
Believe it, receive it, and then act upon it. If God said it, it's true. I am a child of God. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have you received the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you've been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God's not even looking at your old man. He's not even looking at your flesh. He don't see that. You've put on a new man.
Amen.
28. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How do we know that this is true? What do we read there back in Hebrews 2? He said, it behooved him to be made unto like his brethren. He didn't take on himself the form of an angel. He didn't come down and just say, look, I'm a servant of God. You have to do this, this, and this. No, he came and it behooved him to be made like unto us. Because he knew by his law, if he didn't come as a kinsman, he couldn't save us.
Amen.
Why do you think Melchizedek didn't walk up to the cross and die? He was a created being, just like Adam was a separate lineage. But Christ came through the virgin birth.
Amen.
Produced a kinsman redeemer. And it was because it behooved God. Because of how much he loved us. How much, even back there in the Garden of Eden. Remember what Brother Branham said? He said he saw God funnel down. And he funneled all the way down until a little four-letter word that they could understand. Love. All of God, you can funnel down into love. Isn't that what John said? He said, for God is love. And that ain't little wishy-washy puppy dog feeling. I'm talking about concrete love that don't never change, don't never move, and is always looking out for your benefit. I guess only brother can't believe that. Amen, church. Let's go to there again real quick. I'm going to emphasize this Abraham seed. Hebrews 2. Verse 16, I'm going to read this down. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherein in all things it behooved him to make like to his brother, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliations for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to secure them that are tempted. Oh my, how we need to really put the picture just the way it is. God himself stood off the throne, was made like unto us as part of Abraham's seed, part of fallen mankind, to feel what it was like to be tempted, what it was like to struggle, what it was like to feel heartache, so that way when he died and resurrected, he could go back up and go, I know what they're feeling. I was there. Oh my. And we know that in God's mind, obviously he's infinite. He knows all things. He knew what that would have been like. But now he had experienced it in reality and its manifestation. And it's just like us. We were always sons of God.
Amen.
We were always a part of God. But oh, weren't you glad one day it came to manifestation. Amen. And you became a benefactor of that. Amen. Oh, before when you're walking in the things of the world, the sins of the world and caged up in sin, it didn't matter. You were a son of God. You didn't benefit from it just yet. But you knew deep down, every time you check, oh, there's just something, I can't go this way. There's something wrong, there's something pulling me. And one day you found out it was Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because ye are Abraham's seed, and you are heir according to the promise. So when he said the promise, you were already in his mind.
Amen.
The only way he could include all of us was to say, Abraham's seed.
Amen. Wow.
Like Brother Branham said, I'm so glad the Bible says whosoever will believe more than it would say William Branham would believe. Because I might be able to find another William Branham, might be here. But whosoever will I do desire, and I came in. That means it's the promises unto me. You can put your name in every promise of God because you are a son of God. You are the same word that he is. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, and he was because he was a son of God, that means it's the same for you.
Amen, amen.
Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you shall receive them.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because if you are the Word, you will automatically desire the things of the Word, because the will of God and the Word of God are the same.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus, that's right.
Thank you.
So we think, why could God trust us with that? Because he knew who he gave that promise to.
Amen.
If my words abide in you and you and me, he didn't just say just anyone now, but if my words abide in you and you and me, ask what you will. Because any promise in that Bible, we've read it before. Brother Bram says, Jehovah Jireh 57, the biggest fault that I can find with any of the churches, and especially the church that's born again, they don't know who they are. You don't realize what the privilege that God has given you. You're looking for something way off in some kind of a millennium, but that's one the devil has pulled over you. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be. We are now in every redemptive blessing that the Lord Jesus died for is our personal property right now. Everything that he died for. Not we will be, we are now.
Amen.
Divine sonship authority. You want to know what it looks like in the Bible? Let me just read these real quick here. Luke 6:19, talking of Jesus, says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them. Oh, everybody but that really hard guy.
Everyone.
Healed them all. Oh my, what kind of virtue ought to be going out of the church of the living God?
Amen.
If you feel any sort of, if people ask you to pray for them, go ahead. If you're a son of God, God will hear your voice.
Amen.
No, but I don't know about them, then nothing to do with it. Because look, they can get healed. If they're going to live in sin, yeah, they'll probably get sick again. But they ought to go back and look and say, "That I was healed back then. Because I know that a son of God prayed for me."
Amen.
Oh, you might have people make fun of you. You might have them say you're whatever and you're crazy and all this. But let them get sick one time and they ain't going to go ask Bishop so-and-so for prayer. They'll stand up right next to you and ask for it.
Amen.
I'm a witness to that church. I have hundreds of students that come all the time. And they know. They know in real life when they see it. It's not me. It's Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
The life that I live, I'm long dead. They're not coming to get something because I'm good or I'm just such a great witnesser. No, Christ is a great witnesser. And if you'll just step aside and let that life live,
amen,
let the Holy Ghost do what he wants to, it will manifest every time.
Right.
He healed them all.
Amen.
So their desire, because he had so much virtue to give, can anybody think you could exhaust Jesus Christ's virtue? No, then why do we act like it sometimes? Amen. Why do we act like we bothered him enough or he's already answered enough prayer? No. Ask that your joy may be pretty good. No, ask that your joy may be full. So if you go, man, I'm not just quite happy. I got this. Well, then ask for it.
Amen.
And keep getting up there until you at least got the deposit of faith because you'll walk in joy then. You go, well, I don't see it. It doesn't matter if you've got faith because faith is a substance.
Yes.
I have this Bible in my hand. You can give me all your doctrine you want to. I have it.
Yes, amen.
And when you see faith hit a man of God, a daughter of God, you can give him every CAT scan you wanted, everything that says, oh, you're eating over the cancer, you're done for, it doesn't matter. If he's got faith that God told him he's healed, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You can't move him from it.
Right.
I believe the Lord liked that. He's walking in real close right now, ain't he?
Amen.
God don't want us put in the box. That's why he got so mad at Israel. Why? Because they limited him.
Right.
Oh, he can bring us out of Egypt, but can he furnish us a table out here in the wilderness?
Yes.
And then he did that for him. Then he said he piled quail all over the place for him.
Right.
And he gave him water out of the rock. He made their clothes not wear down in 40 years. That is still a miracle today. We got pretty good clothing now. Anybody got something 40 years old that isn't worn at all? Mine, their shoes didn't wear. My last 40 days, I'm proud. 40 years, and I'm walking in a classroom. They're walking out in the desert, and they're still complaining. Then they finally get to the promised land. You think they'd have learned their lesson, wouldn't you? Then they get over there. What? Oh, there's giants. Oh, God can destroy an entire nation for us. He can push a Red Sea out of the way so we can walk through. But for some reason, when there's giants, he can't do nothing about it. You see why the only ones that knew they were sons of God were Caleb and Joshua. Because they didn't put up with that. They didn't say, oh, it's all right, buddy. They said, what are you doing? They tried to, remember Caleb, he stilled the people and said, stop this unbelief party. Get out of here.
Amen.
We are more than able.
Amen.
He wasn't saying that because Caleb had big old guns or he's going to go and take them all out. God said it. He will fulfill it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
I like this too. Jesus, Mark 1:40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, you got too much sin, you can't be healed today. And that was someone, remember he's a leper. You just type it out now. What's a leper? A type of sin. What did Jesus say? He says, I will. Be thou clean.
Amen.
See how often we live so far below our privileges. Jesus desired it. He was moved with compassion. So he said, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, oh, I just love the Lord Jesus. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. What does John 14:12 say? The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye say to anything in my name, I will do it. We'll put it on Jesus and say, well, of course, he was, you know, the virgin born Son of God. He was God Emmanuel made flesh. And then if you recognize that a Son of God has all those attributes within him, then it doesn't become crazy that you could do the same things that he did.
Amen.
That's right.
My, how many times have you had compassion come on you for a person? But you go, well, maybe I'm just making that up. Jesus didn't think that. Why? Because he was in perfect harmony with the Father. He was perfectly the Word from birth. Never had sin, never had iniquity, never had any of that. He was already born the virgin born Son of God. The Word became flesh. We are the flesh becoming the Word. So we're having to fight off that old man. Look, we're destroying something to let something live. Do you understand that? You will eventually have no more flesh to deal with, and that's why we'll bust out of this body.
Amen.
And make it change. Not because, oh, we see this, and there'll be a faith in here take place. It says, body, I'm done.
Amen.
Right.
And it'll be so small. Why? Because it's not to a group. It's not to the message people. It is to sons.
Yes.
Amen.
And you are made a son of God individually.
Yes.
Amen.
The church is just the sons of God come together. Amen. It's not because of some move or some group or just because you come to this building. You have to have it experience yourself.
Amen.
That's right.
Don't try to jump on daddy's back. Don't try to jump on the pastor's back. Don't try to jump on our church's back. Get the Holy Ghost yourself.
Amen.
Then you don't got to go find brother so-and-so. You don't got to go find even Jesus himself. He's already in you. You're already packing the goods.
Yes. Amen.
Whatsoever you desire when you ask, believe it.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Just to testify, it's happened in my school the same thing. I had a kid there. Or actually, I'll go to back years before that when I was at work. There was a girl hunched over like this because her back was just hurting her all day. And something my heart had compassion. This girl is a sinner, made fun of me for being a Christian all the time. Cusses, swears, does all that. But I had a compassion move in my heart. I knew that wasn't me because as a natural man, I had no... Why would I have any compassion for this person? But something on the inside, that's the real me now.
Amen.
That's the compassion you want to act upon. That compassion felt bad for her. So what did I do? I walked over there and just put my hand right on her head real quick. I almost did it just to make her think like I was just, you know, just doing whatever, like I wasn't doing anything. But look, when the Spirit's moving, they know something happened. And she knew exactly what I was doing. I went there and I walked away. I didn't say nothing more about it. I didn't even really pray, to be honest with you. I just said, in Jesus' name. Because that's what sons of God are supposed to do.
Right.
We're supposed to take the promise of God and use it.
Amen.
Not for my glory. I had no part in that. I gave glory unto God for it. Because she didn't even tell me first. She went around everybody and said, freakiest thing happened. And then told the story and said, my back felt great in about 10 minutes. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
The works that he did, we do also.
Amen.
School, I had another student, the same, he came up to me, he was just on my desk. He's a good kid, I like him a lot. He's been my student aid and things, he's been real helpful. Came up here and said, man, I just got this headache and all this stuff, and came on my desk kind of like this, and I'm sitting in my chair, and all I did was right here. That was it. I just touched it because he was down here like this because he had a headache, and I just went like that. Came to me the next day, saying when he actually got in front of the classroom, and there he said, Miss Crustle, I think you got the magic touch. You know, you feel bad, you're like, come on, Lord, let me find somebody that can see it, you know. But anyways, he got upstairs and he said, by the time I got to my class, it was gone. Immediately, once the word was spoken, once the word was acted upon, what promise did I take? Mark 16, these signs follow them that believe. So I identify myself not as a sinner, not as a failure, not as no good at all. Recognize myself as a son of God, as a believer. And since I am a believer, I've been given this authority to give glory unto God through
Amen.
The Son, because I am a part of the Son.
Amen.
So if God works through me, he is getting glory through the Son.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. What is the Son? It is God made flesh, and we as the bride of Christ are God made flesh.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, what God are people going to see besides you? People won't read this Bible, but they will see God in you if you let that life live.
Amen.
Oh, my. You say, oh, that's just Jesus' divine authority. Well, let's go to the book of Acts. What did Peter do? Saw that man at the gate, beautiful, laying down there. He said, look on us. The man looked up, assuming that they would give him some money because he was broke. He says, well, I don't have any money. Amen. Silver and gold have I none. And I'll tell people the same thing. I ain't got none of that. I ain't got none of that worldly pleasure that you want. I ain't got none of that. But I do have one thing. In the name of Jesus, get up.
Amen. Amen.
And what's funny is he didn't rely on his faith to do it, did he? Because what did Peter immediately do? He grabbed him by the hand and he pulled him up. Why? Because he could probably discern that man don't got enough faith. He doesn't even know what's really going on just yet. But he knew, I am a son of God. I have authority over the devil. The devil can't torture this person anymore because God has moved compassion on my heart to get this man out of this condition.
Amen.
Not for his glory, but for the glory of God. He pulled that man up. That man was looking. He had an expectation, but it wasn't just quite right yet. But the second he got up and he felt some strength, he went.
That's right.
And he said, remember what he said? He was jumping.
Amen.
He was praising God.
Amen.
Oh my, we need to get some real deliverance once in a while. Because it doesn't make it hard to praise God anymore when you really get delivered of something and you know that it's gone.
Amen.
And then you can physically feel it. How much more in the spiritual? When you go, man, I've been dealing with this, just having envy, just having hate. And one day you go, it's gone.
Amen.
Oh, my. We should be the happiest people on the planet.
Praise God.
And he took him up, reading from the Bible, Acts 3:7. He took him up by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising Peter. No, he was praising God. He knew why he got healed.
Amen. Amen. Woo. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Praise be to God. Amen. Peter again later. Y'all remember Dorcas? Amen. Tabitha? She was dead. And they were all weeping and wailing. And Jesus was just following, or Peter was thinking, well, I remember when Jesus encountered this with Jairus' daughter. He just told them all to get out and went over there and raised them up. So he's like, well, I'm the Son of God. You give him the same authority, I'll do the same thing.
Sure.
That's exactly what he did. He went up, he pushed everybody aside, he said, Tabitha, arise. Do you notice he didn't even say in Jesus' name, because the Word had become flesh in him. It was the same as Christ saying it. So when Christ said, daughter, I say unto thee, arise. And I believe he spoke in tongues when he did that. Peter did the exact same thing and said, Tabitha, arise. Just as Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen. Amen.
Oh my, if we get all the superstition out of the way, we'd realize all Peter was doing was saying, Spirit of Tabitha, come back to this body.
Amen.
And that's exactly what it did. She rose up. Immediately, he took her by the hand and said, here you go. Presented her alive, and they gave God praise. That's what a divine son looks like.
Amen.
That's acting in his authority. Acts 5:16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one.
Amen.
What did this message come to do? It came to restore us back to apostolic faith.
Amen.
What did the apostles know? They knew that it behooved God to be made like unto us, to call us brethren. We are a brethren of Jesus Christ. We are given the same position as Christ was, not because of merit, but because of who we are.
Amen.
And those sons of God, Peter, Paul, James, John, they knew it.
Amen.
They knew the mystery of God. They knew what God came to do. They saw the plan, and they went and preached it.
Amen.
And in the dark ages, we look, as we've been going through the seals, we watched it. We watched denominations come in and cut that truth away from the church until where it just came a stump where, my, you couldn't even feel good unless you had $100 to go give the priest because there was nothing taught right. And there's some people that still live in that darkness today. God have mercy. But look at where you are. Look at where you came from. Look what God brought you to. And my, we sit around with frowns on our face. What do we got to frown about?
Amen.
We sit around with sickness and pain. And that, you know, I understand we got hardships to go through, but I guarantee you we deal with more than what we're supposed to because of our own unbelief. And God don't want nothing to do with unbelief. You yielding to unbelief is not being humble. It is letting the devil win. That's what's going on. Sons of God, do not act that way.
Amen.
What was Malachi sent to do? We all know the promise as we stand together tonight. It was made to turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. So as we look at the faith in Peter, we look at the faith in Paul, we look at the faith in Christ, you need to recognize I am supposed to manifest the exact same faith in my life. I am not stealing from God because I do this. I am not twisting God's arm because I took a promise of God on my lips and said it. I let the Spirit put that on my heart and I acted accordingly. It must come to pass.
That's right.
My church. People are looking for a revival, but ain't willing to lift a finger to see anything happen. What does God want? Your heart. He wants a total surrender. That's all he wants. He wants a vessel that don't desire anything in this world, don't desire anything but to serve God, and you watch the things start moving through your life. He's not waiting for you to get good enough, church. He's waiting for you to actually believe what he said.
Yes.
That's all he wants. That's how we will walk as divine sons. Walk in the authority that we've been called to. We bow our heads together. Every heart open unto the Lord, every eye closed reverently now. Now that was a very high standard, but we know that it's not our standard. It was the standard that God put in His Word. And He has already given us the ability to be up there by sovereign grace. And if there's anybody here who feels a doubt somewhere that you might be coming short, I believe if you raise your hands to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will take that thing away and put you right back in the position you ought to be. If you think of one promise that you've let go because you thought it took too long or thought some circumstance come, I pray that tonight you will take that promise back. We are to take over every gate of the enemy, church, because we are
yes,
Abraham's
Lord.
Seed.
Yes, Jesus.
And don't leave here without that deposit of faith in your heart.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You say, well, I don't see nothing different. Get the faith on the inside. Get the substance from God Almighty, and you will know that you have it. And you watch that thing come to pass. Pray in your own way. I'll lead in prayer. But you put that request before the Lord. Heavenly Father, how we appreciate you. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you, Father, for these promises that you've given to us, Lord. This wonderful covenant that was unconditional, Lord. We could be forever grateful for it, Lord, that you went to Calvary, that you took our place. And then when the denominations told us it was something else, you came around and showed us Malachi 4 and that it's the same God, the same today as he's always been. I pray, Lord, that there be so many testimonies come out of every single life that's here to prove that the resurrection is still active, it's still alive, it's still in power, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. If there's any soul in here, Lord, that hasn't received the Holy Ghost, Lord, don't let us deceive ourselves, Lord. Show us plainly, Lord, if there's anything lacking in our lives. Lord, we know that you're coming soon, and the only thing you're waiting on is for the church to be ready. We pray, Lord, if there's anything in our hearts that ain't ready, may the blood wash it clean and the Spirit anoint us, Lord, to be ready for that hour. We love you, Lord. We know that judgment's coming, but we're so grateful to be under your wings. Lord, as we watch 1,000 fall on one side, 10,000 on another, and it never touches us, Lord, we just want to count inventory and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us and taking care of us. You're so good, Lord. I pray you give the people every desire on their hearts tonight, according to your word. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen, amen. Don't let the devil take anything back, church. We were meant to walk victorious. Dad, you got a song? I remember I threw that earlier, didn't I? Hallelujah. Can we just give God praise tonight, Lord? Just worship him. Don't forget how to worship God. Don't wait on your neighbor to do something fancy. We wish to worship God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just give him praise with your lips. The Bible says, sing yourself these psalms and spiritual songs. Giving thanksgiving at all times. How many? 264.
I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I creation.
Oh, just give God praise tonight. Hallelujah.
Brand new man.